Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
The year 2022 has already been fruitful for two major projects in Clackamas County, after acts of Congress and the Oregon State Legislature have secured more than $100 million for the new courthouse and replacement of the Willamette Falls locks. At the end of the 2022 session, the legislature provided Clackamas County with $94.5 million to construct a new courthouse. Built in 1936 to serve fewer than 50,000 residents, officials have long said the current courthouse can no longer handle the demands of a population of nearly 420,000 that continues to grow. The current courthouse also faces seismic risks, safety concerns, and security issues. The new courthouse is currently estimated to cost $189 million, with the state's contribution covering half of the cost. The new courthouse will be located on the county's Red Soils campus and, upon completion in 2025, will meet projected judicial needs for the next 50 years. In addition, a federal bill signed by President Joe Biden on Tuesday, March 15th, brought an additional $6.2 million to Clackamas County in congressionally directed spending for the Willamette Falls locks. Located in Clackamas County within the city of West Lynn, the locks unite the upper and lower Willamette River and were the oldest continuously operating multi-lock system in the United States before being placed into caretaker status by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 2011 due to safety concerns. The $6.2 million in funding will go to complete work that will improve the seismic stability of the walls around the upper river gates of the locks. The improvements will preserve the water table for renewable energy generation at Portland General Electric's Sullivan Power Plant, as well as salmon and steelhead habitat protection in the upper Willamette. The Corps identified these essential repairs as being needed before the locks can be transferred to a non-federal owner. The City of Canby's Public Works Department has partnered with Canby Area Beautification and Valley Environmental to plant between 500 and 1,000 trees and other indigenous plants along Willow Creek as part of a planting party set for this Saturday, March 26th. The city received a generous donation of 500 seedlings of ponderosa pine, 500 trimmings of native trees, and over 5 dozen plants to be planted along Willow Creek in northeast Canby. The planting efforts are part of the city's urban forestry program, which has continued to gain momentum over the years. The Willow Creek planting will also help advance a stormwater project to eradicate berry briars and bring more shade to the area near Northeast Territorial Road, Nelson explained. The nonprofit Oregon Anglers Research Society donated the plants, which feature a variety of attributes to showcase Oregon's unique four seasons. The plants include red osier dogwood, serviceberry, swamp rose, Willamette Valley ponderosa pine, and flowering currant. The Knights of the Columbus and Canby Fire will provide muscle for Saturday's planting, and additional volunteers are welcome. Volunteers should arrive at 10 a.m. to check in and be ready to assist in planting. Shovel and gloves will be in short supply, so volunteers are encouraged to bring their own. The Canby Area Chamber of Commerce will host its annual Shred Day event at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds next month, along with an open house. Conducted with the help of Kahoot Waste Services, the Shred Day event will take place from noon to 4 p.m. Thursday, April 21st at the Fairgrounds Red Lot. The event will offer secure recycling of confidential documents as well as e-waste. Weber Consulting will also be on hand to provide safe and secure wiping of hard drives and other devices before disposal for a modest $10 fee. The Canby Police Department will be available to take back and safely dispose of old and unused prescription drugs, and the Canby Lions Club will be accepting unneeded eyeglasses, cell phones, and hearing aids. Shred Day is a fundraiser for the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce and is co-sponsored by Northwest Employment Services and Kahoot Waste Services. A few days later, the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce will host a free meet and greet open house from 8:30 to 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 26, at the Chamber office located at 191 Southeast 2nd Avenue to introduce staff and new CEO Lori Tartar to members and the community. Individuals new to the chamber and interested business representatives looking to join are encouraged to attend. The event will offer an excellent opportunity for non-members to meet the team, connect with other small business owners, and learn more about how the chamber can support your business. For current members, it is a chance to better understand how to utilize membership benefits that support your business through education, member marketing opportunities, community partnerships, advocacy, and networking. In addition, coffee and bagels will be provided, allowing guests to mix and mingle. This is a free event, but advance registration is requested due to limited space. For a link, find the story on our website at canbyfirst.com. It was an event more than 2 years in the making Saturday as the Rotary Club of Canby and other partnering organizations came together at the Ackerman Center to host the long-awaited first annual Daddy-Daughter Dance. Originally slated for March 14, 2020, the dance was one of the first local events to be postponed in the early onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The rescheduled event was held on Saturday, March 12th. The first day that the statewide mask mandate was lifted in Oregon, signaling the nearest return to normalcy many Oregonians had experienced in more than 2 years. Smiles shared, special connections strengthened, and the love for life celebrated, Rotary Club President Ray Keane said as he reflected on the event. We couldn't have possibly hoped for more. The debut event was a sellout several days ahead of schedule, with more than 300 local parents and daughters coming out to enjoy a festive evening of music, dancing, balloon animals, face painting, a chocolate fountain, photos, and a live magic show by illusionist Scott Anderson, in keeping with the night's theme, a magical evening. The Rotary Club of Canby wishes to thank the event sponsors, including the Backstop Bar and Grill, Brown Insurance, Canby Car Wash, Clackamas Federal Credit Union, Columbia Distributing, Cornerstone Wealth Management, Cutsforth Market, Direct Link, Hawksoft, Kahoot Waste Management, Kathleen Jordan, Miller's Point S Tire and Auto, Rife and Huntsaker, and Roth Heating and Cooling. Other sponsors include Wilson Construction, Willamette Valley Country Club and Remax Equity Group, Terry Schneider, Puddin River Chocolates, Active Media, Canby Fire District, Canby Police Department, Canby School District, Canby Sign and Graphics, Gwen's Coffee House, Scott Anderson, and the Canby Center. For photos, visit canbyfirst.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at canbycurrent. Cougar Country, hometown sports coverage is brought to you by Rife and Huntsaker, PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Canby Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country Pod. The Canby Cougars softball team started out their 2022 campaign with lofty expectations. Led by head coach Ty Kraft, the Wiley Cougars began the season ranked 10th in the state. Now, after a dominating opening week where Canby won twice and gave up only a single run in the process, they look poised to climb even higher. Canby started out the week with two-inning scrimmages on Monday against West Salem and Wells. Serving mostly as a tune-up for the Cougars, the games also foreshadowed things to come, as Canby dominated in both scrimmages, beating West Salem 12-1 and dismantling Wells 13-0. In the girls' first real game against South Salem, the runs did not come quite as easily. When Mackenzie Scott homered for the Saxons to start the third inning, the Cougs actually trailed 1-0. Kraft's Cougars would have to wait two more innings until they got on the board, but when they did, they went all in, scoring five runs in the top of the fifth. Brooke Heron's two-run single was the exclamation point of a brilliant offensive inning from the Cougars. That would be the only frame in which they scored, but it would be all they needed, thanks to the capable work of right-handed hurler Abigail Loomis. In her complete game effort on Wednesday, Loomis struck out 10 batters and walked only one. Following their win over the Saxons, Canby blasted away the 5A Ridgeview Ravens 0-2, winning 10-0 in six innings. Loomis shone once again, throwing a complete game no-hitter and once again striking out 10 batters. Ava Carroll led the way for the Cougars with 10 hits, and Natalie Just was close behind with two of her own. It was a Just single that drove in Carroll for the first run of the day. That third inning run was one of the six for the Cougars as they launched ahead once again. Carroll's final hit of the day, an RBI triple in the sixth, was the 10th and final run for the Cougars in the win.
Hey Tyler, read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome, what's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something. Sassos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local, independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay. Frankie! How many times do I have to ask you for those audio files? I need them for the next episode.
I know. Man, I told you I'm trying to upload them now, but it's taking forever.
That's super weird. I thought your new internet provider was like super fast speeds.
Well, I thought so too. I mean, sometimes it goes really fast, but then I get heavy lag and glitches when I'm trying to make FaceTime calls or play games. It has cost me quite a few missions on Call of Duty Warzone, I can tell you. Even the videos on my doorbell cam come in jittery sometimes.
Well, Frankie, other than being very bad at video games, sounds like it's trouble with your upload speeds. Most internet providers only talk about their download speeds, since those are usually way faster.
Okay, hang on a second. You're telling me there are two types of internet speeds?
Yep. And upload speed is just as important as download. Think about how much stuff we send up to the internet, like the video of you that your friends see on the FaceTime call, or the response to your commands when you're playing action video games.
You're right. It sounds like I have slow upload speeds. Wish I would have known that when I signed up for internet.
Unfortunately, a lot of providers only tout their download speeds when talking about their services. That's what sets DirectLink apart. Not only do they openly advertise them, but their upload speeds are up to 10 times faster than other providers in the area. They know how important it is to have clear video when on that Zoom interview you have for your dream job, or when you're trying to catch those porch pirates that are stealing all of your Amazon packages and the Christmas things that you got for your, you know what, not a big deal. Give DirectLink a call to get started at 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop/internet.
I kind of got a grudge against those
I'm porch still pirates. Waiting for my teddy bear to show up.
My guests on the Canby Conversation today are Ken and Melinda Buckles. Ken is a retired PE teacher and also a football, wrestling, and track coach, and also the founder and director of Remembering America's Heroes, a nonprofit that we're going to talk about. Melinda is his wife. Thank you guys so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And also a fantastic singer, from what I hear, Melinda. So we're going to be hopefully hearing some of that later today. But Ken, you are specifically here to talk about a new initiative, a new thing that we're doing to honor and recognize and hopefully create some bridges with our Vietnam veterans.
Yeah, so my history with the Vietnam veterans is I've always known for decades that many, many, many of them were treated so poorly when they came home in the 70s. And there was even a book written on it called The Homecoming in 88 that, it's sad. But I was always trying to get veterans to come talk to the high school kids, and it was easy getting the World War II in Korea, and even the four World War I vets back in the 90s who are no longer here, but the Vietnam vets, it was a huge challenge, and the majority of them said, I just don't go there anymore, it just wasn't worth it. When I came back home, I just don't, and they'd say thank you and hang up, and so it's always been an issue, but it was something that happened this summer that led to this cause.
Yeah, I want to hear that story, but let's just talk, because maybe like some of our younger listeners who didn't live through Vietnam, like
they
don't realize. And maybe you hear that in your work with Remembering America's Heroes and talking to high school kids. Don't realize the homecoming, if you want to call it that, but the not even just indifference, but like they were spit on. They were called all sorts of names. They were rejected in all kinds of different ways. I mean, you probably heard some crazy stories.
Absolutely. Well, we started this, and we started in Canby. Let's call it a Canby Vietnam veteran apology, and we're hoping that it will be declared that for this coming Veterans Day, November 11th. And the community of Canby is jumping on board everywhere we go, and it's really exciting. But what we've set up a canopy tent and T-shirts, and you know, and tried to spread the cause at two events, and we are again tomorrow at Cusworth's Cruise-In. But that, what's your answer to your question? It's been shocking of not just young people, teenagers, but adults in their 40s and 50s who said, "I had no idea." Yeah. And we've, you know, so it's been like teaching lessons at our tent. And the other one was the number of Vietnam vets who come up, and several of them who start crying. We've had wives of Vietnam vets approach saying, "My husband's over there, but he just can't come here. It's too emotional for him." Mm-hmm. And then what happened at the Slice of Summer, Melinda was trying to flag me down. Tell what happened.
Well, there was a veteran that just stood there. He stood there for quite a while, and I asked him, "May I help you?" I said, "Are you okay?" Mm-hmm. And then he just started crying. The tears just started coming. And he said, "I was in Vietnam. I would never believe that this would happen. Is this for real?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, it's for real. We want to make it better for you." And he says, "But okay, so are people going to wear these shirts? I mean, is it for real?" And at that point, I said, "Of course it's for real. I know what you went through and probably still going through it, because you don't tell anybody you were in the Vietnam War, right?" And he said, "Right." He didn't. And then he just really started crying. So I called Ken over to talk to him at that point. Because it's something that when they see the T-shirt, it's so much healing in just saying, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Of course, we didn't do it, but somebody.
Yeah.
They're still holding that pain today.
It's very easy. We live in such a, like, saturated culture, right? Like, there's, you know, you can turn on the TV and there's, like, a million shows on Netflix, and there's just all this stuff that you can read anything, you can research, you can find any blog on any subject and anything. We're just inundated with all kinds of words. And I think that it causes us to minimize the impact that certain words and certain sentiments can have. And we get a little desensitized to it. I had the opportunity this past March for Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day to be part of a ceremony that was honoring sentiment. I think the apology is very powerful. So this is more another word that they weren't, you know, they didn't get that welcome. So that's what that event is about. And I was floored by the impact that it had on a few of the, what you would presume, just kind of these buttoned up, you know, military men, like tough guys, you know, some of them literally in their leather jackets and their biker jackets and things, and breaking down because of just the simple, that this, in this case, the state government and, you know, state officials were there to say, "Welcome home," you know, and that, you know, "Thank you for your service." Like, it's unbelievable.
I'd like to respond to that, because when I'm first trying to spread the awareness on this, I said, "I personally do not feel I can say welcome home," because I didn't do it in the 70s.
Yeah.
They invented the saying "welcome home," and they use it to each other. Mm. And if you ever get two Vietnam vets who don't know each other together, they will both say "welcome home" to each other. Mm. And then the other
I didn't realize that story. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and the other one is "thank you for your service."
Right.
A lot of them say, "Well, it's just a bandwagon a statement nowadays, and right. so many people, they just do it real fast. Thank you for your service, and they leave, and they say it's not sincere.
Yeah.
So I said, we need to do something that's never been done. And it came from the idea of the New Zealand Vietnam veteran.
Yeah, tell that story.
Well, we had gone out to dinner, met our grandkids and daughter at a restaurant in Clackamas area, and at a table was a gentleman with a Vietnam vet hat on, and he took it off and set it on the table when he ate. And I always go up to them and start chatting. I you know, I don't say welcome home or thank you, sure. I like to break the ice. But
yeah.
I like to say that. And I says, well, I'm really sorry for how you were treated. And it really means a lot to him. Well, when I went over to chat to him, he had an accent. And I said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from New Zealand. He said, we had troops in Vietnam, and so did the Aussies. We had your Yanks back.
Yeah.
And I laughed, and I said, I'm a history nut. I said, I had no idea. I said, I never knew that.
He goes, realize that either.
Yeah, so we had a great conversation. South Korea had troops there, too. Huh? We were having this great conversations, but at the end, I said, well, you probably weren't treated how our guys were.
Right. I would assume the same.
Yeah, I would assume. He said, the heck we, what he used a cuss word, the heck we weren't. He says, I was spit on when we landed in New Zealand, and Aussies were treated bad, and it was horrible. And he got tears in his eyes, and he says, but I got to tell you what our country did in 2008. They had a National Vietnam Veteran Apology Day. And he said it was the most powerful, emotional, healing day. He said we were all bawling like babies.
Yeah.
He said it meant so much for our country to say we're sorry. And I said, gosh, what if we started that here in the United States? And he just laughed.
Yeah.
He said, you Yanks are too self-centered. You'll never do it. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up in the middle of the night in July, and it came to me. I said, we're going to start it. I know Canby will jump all over it. We're going to start it in Canby. If it spreads, so be it. If it doesn't spread, so be it. But we're going to do it in Canby. And like I said, the momentum is—it's amazing. It's happening.
Yeah.
There was another story. You called the Vietnam vet and shared about and he shared with you what had just happened to him.
That was.
Did you tell that?
This happened within a week after the New Zealand example. So I have veterans who say you need to call this veteran and talk to him, and you need to connect with him, and so on. So I had an Iraq Afghanistan vet said, hey, this guy's a great guy. He was a Green Beret, and then he did mercenary work for other countries, and there should be a book or movie on him. So I called him, and I had a really nice chat, and then I said at the end, I said, well, I just want to say I'm sorry for how you guys were treated back in the 70s. And he said, oh, man. He goes, it's still happening today. And I went, what? And he said, I was just sitting in my living room looking out the window, and a 20-something man walked by and saw my pickup truck with a Vietnam patch vet sticker on the bumper. And he walked up to my driver's side door, and he spit on the handle. And he said, now you would think that I would jump out and open the door and scream at him or do something stupid. He said, it triggered pain. He said, I sat there hurt all over again. I'm 75 years old and it's 2019. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's a sad chapter, and I feel if we don't, there's never any closure unless you can try. If you've been wronged, we need to apologize. And I'm so excited and proud that Canby is the number of businesses and people heavily involved in the community. It's exciting.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. I can't believe that that's still happening today. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, you said that happened.
That happened in the month of June.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here in Oregon.
He told me here in Portland, Oregon. He said it happened the end of June, because I was talking to him in July,
yeah.
And I met that I think I met that New Zealand veteran the end of June, too, and heard his story.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when it was a couple days after hearing both of them that I said, wow, let's do something in Canby. Yeah, and the number one word is, Melinda's seen many, many times, too, and the other night is with the veterans, it's this has been healing.
Yeah.
It's been very healing for all of them. And we absolutely know in the two times we've set up our canopy tent and tried to, you know, ask people to buy one of these t-shirts and join the cause, we already know we've healed some. We've seen it. That guy, when he left, he gave me a hug and he said, God bless you guys. God bless you. This was amazing. I never thought I would live to see this. And so to me, it's like, okay, that's it's worth it.
Yeah,
I was going to say, there was a lady that came by. Her father was in the Vietnam War and he's just kind of quiet, hardly ever talk about it at all. So she brought a t-shirt and she said, I cannot wait. I'm going to see him this week and I'm wearing this shirt in the house. I'm not there to see what happens, but I can imagine if he saw that t-shirt and read what it said, how much healing and joy that would give to him coming from his daughter.
Sure.
So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, there is incredible healing just in being validated that you know, in your pain, you're not crazy, you know. You were hurt, you were wronged,
right.
You know. And to have that from folks who aren't family or don't owe them anything, you know, just someone that we owe them, you know. So that's really cool. So the goal is for all of Canby to wear these shirts, right? For like all the different businesses to for that one day, for Veterans Day, November 11th, to try and get as many folks as we can wearing these I'm Sorry Vietnam Veteran shirts, right?
Yes, so we've got about 17 Canby businesses right now. Well, I include the Canby High football team because they're going to too. And our goal is to get them, and they're all in. They say we'll get t-shirts, put our employees in them, and wear them on that day. But we're also to spread the cause. We're going to go with the month of September and take pictures with them and have them take pictures too. And everybody can post it on social media so that people will see, look what's happening in Canby. Look what these businesses are. And then last year was the very first Veterans Day ceremony under the helicopter, right. Vietnam helicopter.
At the Vietnam Memorial.
Yeah, and it went, it was amazing. They had a great turnout and they're expecting it to double. I just think it would be so cool if tons of civilians wore those. It's not, you know, it's not a massive moneymaker. We're not trying to make money off it. It's to spread the cause.
Right.
And veterans, what was really one of our very good friends was in the Korean War, and he was first Purple Heart at 16 years of age, Bill Chisholm, and he was at the Chosin Reservoir in North Korea in 1950.
Yeah.
And he got the first shirt. He said, what's this all about? And I started telling him, and he interrupted me and goes, I'm buying the first shirt. And he's come to a couple events and wears it, and he wears his hat, the Chosin Few, and veterans know about the Chosin Few.
Right.
It's Chosin Reservoir.
Right.
And they come up and go, were you really there?
Yeah.
And then they see him, you know. I say, yeah, if I can get other veterans from different eras to wear this, because all the veterans know.
Yeah.
You know, they know.
Yeah.
But,
We talk a lot about, you mentioned the words, like, thank you for your service and whatnot. Like, that's what Veterans Day is all about, you know, thank you, veterans. But something like this, if you have someone in your life who's carried pain, you know, trauma for decades from experience that they had where they weren't thanked, they weren't welcomed home, the ability by something as simple as a few words or wearing a shirt to be able to turn that around for someone. I mean, what could be a more incredible gift than that? That's pretty special. So thank you guys
for 100%.
Making that possible. Cool. So where can folks find the shirts if they want to be part
of
this?
Well, they can go to a website, www.rahusa.us.
Right.
RAH stands for Remembering America's Heroes. Mm-hmm. We'll be at the Cruise Inn tomorrow. Saturday the 24th, which is my 65th birthday.
Congratulations.
Cuts for Thriftway is going to sell them in the store.
Okay.
And we'll probably do that after Labor Day, have them in there. And then people are going to see pictures being taken business month September, so that's going to generate interest. So people will have an opportunity to get one and join the cause. We're really happy and excited about it. Like I said, if we can heal, the more vets we can give a little bit of healing and love towards, that's what life's all about.
Absolutely.
You know, especially in these crazy times, we need more love and compassion and empathy.
That's right.
I agree with that. Cool. Well, love, definitely a good place to end. Anything to add there, Melinda?
I'm going to sing.
Oh, yeah. You are going to sing.
Yes, and I'm trying to see how that would fit in with this.
Well, Frank Buckles was America's last living World War I vet, and he died at 110 years of age in 2011. And he was an amazing man. He was also a civilian who helped smuggle supplies in the Philippines until he was captured by the Japanese. So he was a prisoner of war of the Japanese. He was very supportive of all veteran things. And for the last 2 years, Melinda sang the number one song, 1917, 1918, over there. So it is just over the 100th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And a ton of the senior citizens love this song. But if you hear the lyrics and compare, I don't think it would be a popular song today. You hear the lyrics, it's something else. But
yeah,
that it galvanized the nation, and it was Uncle Frank's favorite song. So.
Yeah.
He had two favorite songs, the French National Anthem and Over There.
Oh, yes.
So that's where Over There come in.
Yeah, you're going to do Over There and not the French National song.
Not the French National, no.
Good.
Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Take it on the run, on the run, on the run. Hear them calling you and me. Every son of liberty, hurry right away, no delay, go today. Make your daddy glad to have had such a lad. Tell your sweetheart not to pine, to be prouder boys in line. Over there, over there, send the word over there, that the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming, the drums rum-tumming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer, send the word to beware. We'll be over, we're coming over, and we won't come back till it's over, over there.
Wow, that was great. Thank you so much. I can't see what you were saying as far as maybe those lyrics not holding up, being timeless, but that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Melinda. Now Ken was going to sing the French National Anthem. I don't know.
That's right.
I remember him singing it in the movie Casablanca.
Oh, there you go. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show and telling us about this, and we'll
thank
do what we
you.
Can to support it and be part of it.
So.
Thank
All right.
you.
Awesome.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Hey, I'm AJ. I'm your local Oddmos franchise owner.
I'm Mike, co-founder of Oddmos.
And we're the hosts of The Odd Pod, a podcast about
life in the pizza industry. We're going to have on some franchisees. We're going to have some different vendors on. We're going to get a snapshot of what goes on behind the scenes in the pizza world.
Don't forget to tell them about the sports.
They're sports.
And the crazy wacky pizza that we have every Wednesday that we create. And we also have a special guest every week as well.
And I'm Gage, Odd Pod senior sports analyst.
Gage, who gave you that title?
Me.
Oh boy. Find us on Spotify and Apple Music and the Podbean.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's CURRENT, to 888-906-3432.
Well, friends, we're going to draw this episode of the Can Be Now podcast towards a close with this episode of Can Be Then. This time it's brought to you by Retro Revival, not your average antique shop. They're open daily and you can find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant Street in downtown Canby, or connect with them through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. They say all's fair in love and war, but that doesn't necessarily mean all's love in war and fair. Indeed, a war of words was fought in 1908 over control of the fledgling Clackamas County Fair, and Canby was the winner. The fair had started in Gladstone and was a smashing success, but enterprising folks in Canby thought they could do better, and they had just the spot in mind, a beautiful 40-acre plot on the east side of town on land once owned by Supreme Court Chief Justice Aaron E. Waite and still held by his descendants. Led by the Canby Development League, Chairman R.S. Coe, and 23 other league members, the town was ultimately successful in bringing the fair to Canby, where it would remain for the next 112 years, at least. A groundbreaking was held in late July 1918 to begin construction on the fairgrounds' buildings and a first-class racetrack, and it was a festive occasion. Local officials came out in droves to view the beautiful grounds and make speeches under a stand of drooping fir trees. The mayor of Canby, J.F. Mitz, had proclaimed the day a local holiday, and many downtown businesses closed their storefronts in honor of the momentous occasion. Canby's Silver Comet Band met visitors at the old train depot, which I guess back then would have been the new train depot, and whisked them through a grand processional to where the ceremonies would be taking place. Numerous delegates from surrounding communities were there to, quote, rustle on the sidelines and make all the noise as needed, as recorded by the Oregonian. Judge Grant Dimmock, whose later exploits would reveal him to be one of the most sinister rogues in the county's history, exhorted his listeners to do all in their power to make the fair a success by talking and working for the enterprises in season and out of season, according to the Canby Tribune's chronicling of the event. Another early fair booster, Professor Theodore Gary, went even further. Mr. Gary advised everyone to boot up, and if we hear anyone talking against the fair, to take him out and hang him, or something to that effect, the newspaper noted. His remarks were timely and well-received. Well, no hangings were recorded, but the work on the new fairgrounds came together splendidly. Out of the Waite family's rich farm and forest grew barns, arenas, stadiums, and outbuildings, some of which still stand to this day. Unlike the 1907 fair, which had been headlined by a gaudy carnival from out of town, which included a mask ball, Mardi Gras, freak show, and family feud-style contests, the centerpiece of the Canby Fair would be its sparkling new horse racing track. The half-mile racetrack has been placed in order during the past few days and is pronounced by experts to be one of the finest tracks in the state, the Oregonian declared. WH Council is directing the grader, steamroller, and sprinkler at the fairgrounds, and the racetrack will be in first-class condition. Cash prizes of up to $1,000 were awarded to the fastest horses, thanks to liberal contributions from Portland businessmen and across the state. Not that it was all about speed. Slow trotting was also a popular form of racing entertainment in those days, and several were scheduled for the three-day event. A five-mile relay race for pupils of the local schools was also considered an interesting feature. Other prizes would be given to top show performers for horses, cattle, sheep, swine, poultry, vegetables, fruit, and all kinds of farm products. Awards will be given for ladies' textile products, bread, cakes, pies, preserved fruits, etc., the Oregonian said. 50 special prizes will be awarded for the best of exhibits of every kind of farm, garden, or horticultural product. The most popular day was Friday, which had been designated Oregon City Day, something that had also been done at the 1907 fair. According to an earlier article, the entire town promises to pay a Canby a visit and enjoy the raptures of country life for a day. Well, that might have been an exaggeration, but not by much. 3,000 souls visited the Clackamas County Fair that day, and almost a third of them from Oregon City, which in those days had a population of just north of 4,000. There were so many folks from Oregon City, a special train was on hand just to take them home at the end of the night. The attendance was far greater than was anticipated by the fair officials, a newspaper later recorded, and was due partly to the perfect weather and in no small measure to the fact that nearly 1,000 people came from the county seat to make a boost for the old Clackamas and her fine products that filled the big pavilion. The display of products of the soil were amazing in variety and quality, though not so numerous as the previous year due to a late frost. Nevertheless, the mammoth vegetables and luscious fruits grown by the family farms that thickly encircled the community and its fairgrounds attracted wide attention. The horse races, though, were widely considered to have been far superior to the previous years. They were more and better horses in competition, nearly 500 in number, and the crowds poured in from all directions to see them pound the dirt. The fair wrapped up with an exhibition baseball game, with a hometown team hosting the Spantons from Portland. With one of the night boys on the mound and pitching a no-hitter, the Canby Bats got hot and spanked the visitors 16-0. That's what I call an old-fashioned thrashing. The fair had found its permanent home, and in the rich Canby soil, it was prepared to grow and grow. That, however, is a story for next time on Canby Then. Well, friends, as always, thank you for listening. I'm James Walton. Have a great day.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait. Do you know any trivia that isn't, like, animal-related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest-running, locally-owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.